my boy would be getting out part two of our series on the Midah of Shtika, the wonderful sound of silence. And as we mentioned last time, Shtika is very much a follow-on from our look at the Midah of Ka'at, which is itself very much a follow-on to the Midah of Gaiva. Ka'at bases itself on Gaiva, Shtika, and Ka'at are two opposites, and therefore we cannot really study the Midah of Shtika without considering also Gaiva and Ka'at at the same time. So tonight we're going to look for just for a few moments at a Rambam. The Rambam is to be found in Hilchos Deos, Perek Beis. Now the Rambam, as we know, essentially his sefer is a halacha sefer. It is not merely a Musa sefer, and yet the Rambam has an entire section in Hilchos Deos discussing the halachos of Midos. And in fact, it would be incorrect to consider any Musa sefer not as a halacha sefer. Every Musa sefer is a halacha sefer. There is no differentiation to be made between the halachas of Bosa and Cholov and Mezuzah and all other halachas, and halachas of how one should behave with regards to one's Midos. And just as when we study a Rambam, whether it be in Hilchos Shabbos or Shmitah or whatever it may be, we study every word very carefully, so no less attention is necessary when we consider the Rambam in Hilchos Deos. So the Rambam tells us the following line. Yesh Deos. Now we have to be very careful how we translate the word Deos. In modern Hebrew, the word Deo and Deos means opinions. But in the Rambam, Deos means Midos. So Yesh Deos, there are those Midos, says the Rambam, She'osur loy la'odom. It is forbidden for somebody linhoig bohen bebeinoynis. You cannot bot the Midos her. As you well know, there is a rule, which is a general rule, but here is an exception. The general rule is that when it comes to avodas hamidos, one should adopt the middle road, the Rambam famously tells us, not to be an extremist in either one direction or another. And yet, says the Rambam, that rule has an exception. There are certain midos which one is not supposed to adopt the middle route at all. Elo yisrachik. Rather, a person should distance himself min hakotzer ha'echad ad hakotzer ha'acher. Literally, from one extreme to the other. Rather than positioning oneself in the middle somewhere, no. One should situate yourself at the furthest extreme from this midah ra'ah. And what is an example of that midah? So the first example the Rambam gives is Vahu Goiva Halev, the midah of Gaiva. The midah of Gaiva. Now, as we mentioned, we're not specifically discussing the midah of Gaiva, but if we're looking at the midah of Shtika together with the midah of Ka'at, and we can hardly ignore the study of the Midah of Gaiva. The Midah of Gaiva essentially takes root in the fact that a person is born with a nature that he wants to stand out. He doesn't just want to be swallowed up by the crowd and be just another Joe in the street. There is human nature that he wants to be unique. He wants to stand out in some way. And this is what steers a person towards the middle of Gaiva. If I am haughty, if I am better than other people, then I have fulfilled my quest, as it were, to stand out and be unique. One has to understand, and this is a very, very important issue, and that is, essentially, this nature which is really human nature, to want to stand out, the source of it is a Dover Shebekdusha. The source of it is a Dover Shebekdusha. I think we all know the famous words of Hillel Hazokin. The Gemara told us in Sukkah that when he arrived, he said, "Im ani kan, hakol kan. If I am here, then everybody is here." Which means that essentially a person does indeed need to stand out. And a person does need to be unique. Famous Gemara has tell us that Chayav Odom Loimar Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. The world was created for me. Just as, in fact, when the world was created, Odom Arishon was the only person, the only member of civilization. That is the way that a person has to treat himself. Yes, the whole world is here for me, meaning I have my tafkid, which is unique to me, with my kofet and my kishroimet and all my surroundings, which are specifically limited to me. So a person's quest, his innate desire to be unique, essentially has very, very kodosh sources, and it's not to be viewed in a negative way, to the contrary. If a person treats his avodas Hashem just forever in comparison to others, as long as I'm governing okayish compared to others, as long as I'm learning, as long as my midas is okay compared to others, then in fact he's not actually being mamaleh his tafkid. A person indeed has to say bishvili nivra ha'olam. I do have to be unique. I do have to be outstanding. My wife's grandfather, Jacobus, the friend of the Rocha, used to very often quote the Malden on the words that we say, the Pasuk in Tehillim, "As damra leloikai, I sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'oidi." What does that mean, ba'oidi? Ba'oidi, the root of the word ba'oidi is from the word oid. Oid means and, or in addition to. I sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with my addition, with my unique features. I do not merely sing the song that everybody is singing, talk the talk and walk the walk, but rather Adamro Leleikai Ba'oidi, my particular tune, my song to the Rabbeinu Shalom has to be Ba'oidi, with my oid, with my unique, outstanding, additional features that other people do not have. So essentially, that's not a bidyevet or a negative thing. To the contrary, that's a very positive thing, and that is essentially the way we are supposed to be conducting ourselves in our avodas Hashem. How indeed am I unique? How indeed am I different to others? How indeed can I maximize my potential to be the best possible Eved Hashem that I can be? The problem is that sometimes this human nature is navigated, is directed in a negative way. And that is the shayresh of the middah of gaiva. The shayresh of the middah of gaiva, which we said is this quest to be outstanding, actually comes from very healthy and positive sources. That's the way we are supposed to be. We are supposed to be outstanding. But outstanding doesn't mean better than others or haughtier than others. That is this human nature misdirected. When gaiva, when this bishvili nivra ha'olam turns into gaiva, meaning, im ani kan, hakol kan, I am the center of the universe, which means I put others down and I think I'm better than others, then that is misdirected Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. But because Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam is an ongoing mindset that one is supposed to have, one therefore understands that by definition we have struggled with an ongoing battle against the middle of Gaiva. It is not merely a particular situation that might set off the Baal Gaiva. It is essentially an ongoing minute by minute, hour by hour struggle, because he is forever supposed to be feeling the Shemini Nivra Ha'olam. that there's somebody on a telephone line who's not on mute and it's very disturbing. Whoever's number ends in 8279, would you please, please ask them to mute? Yes, thank you very much. So this ongoing quest, this avodah that we are charged with every day and every minute to be unique, runs the permanent risk of becoming a Baal Gaiva. So we have to know the shayrus of the midah of Gaiva is this innate humane nature, human nature, to want to be outstanding and unique, which essentially is a good thing. It's a dovah shebikedusha. But when it becomes misdirected, it becomes at the expense of others. I somehow feel that I'm better than others, and I feel the need to push others down, then that is this wonderful Godship and Kedusha misconstrued. And that is what the Rambam is teaching us, that therefore this quest to be boiling, to be unique, is a constant struggle. And one has to take, therefore, the opposite extreme. Do not suffice with the middle road, because it's an ongoing battle, and it will therefore, by definition, be a losing battle. Continue the Rambam. She'ein derech ha-toivo. There is no better route. She'yeh odom onov bilvad. Now this, of course, is very much in Yonah Zehemel. We find ourselves now in Parashat Borok. And we know that the parasha that deals with the name with Bilam Chazal HaKadoshim tell us that this is one of the main distinguishing features between Bilam and his Talmidim and Avraham Avinu and his Talmidim. Bilam was the Baal Gaiva, Avraham Avinu was the opposite. But the Lashon of Chazal, when they talk about this midah of Shefal Ruach, let's not forget the Lashon of the Mishnah, which is Ma'oid, ma'oid, have a shal ruach. That's an extremely rare turn of phrase. It doesn't say have a shal ruach, and neither does it say ma'oid have a shal ruach, but rather the double lashon. Ma'oid, ma'oid, have a shal ruach. One must be extremely humble. So this is the introduction of the Rambam. As I mentioned, we're not specifically studying together the Midah of Gaiva, but because that is the Shoyresh of the Midah of Ka'as, which is the opposite of Shtika, we cannot therefore ignore it. So the Rambam has issued a Psak Halacha in the Yadah HaZokha in Hilchot Deyos, that when it comes to the Midah of Gaiva, one cannot adopt the middle road. And one has to make every effort to take the extreme stance, the extreme position, ma'oid, ma'oid, have a shfal ruach. Tells the Rambam in continuation, and look how the Rambam just moves seamlessly from one midah to the other, the chayn hakas. So too the Rambam says, that the kas is a midah ro'ah, it's the worst of all bad midos. And once again, the Rambam says, "V'ra'u la'adam shi'yistrachek mimeno ad kaseho acher." Therefore, so too with the midah of kaas. These are the two exceptions, and this is absolutely crucial. The general rule in midos is that one is supposed to adopt the middle route. If one asks oneself the question, is it a good thing to be miserly or spendthrifty? And the real answer is somewhere in the middle. Is it a good leader to be an introvert, an extrovert, somewhere in the middle? Most middles are indeed like that. However, when you're dealing with a middle of gaiva, and now the Rambam has told us, v'chein ka'at, those are exceptions to the rule. Yisrachek mimeno ad kisei ha'acher, until the very opposite extreme. So the Rambam is teaching us, not only are the midos of Ka'at and Gaiva related to each other, and dependent on each other, but so too the way that one deals with them is exactly the same, and that is by taking an extreme opposite stance. Says the Rambam, the Yelamed Otzim, Shelo Yichlis, a person has to train himself not to get angry, and we've discussed this in the past, in our Vadim on Kat, what really the Shroshim of the Midah of Kat is, whether it be Gaiva, whether it be a lack of Emuna in the Rebbeinu Shalayla. It's only by dealing with the sources of this great Midah that one can really tackle it. And the Rambam gives a piece of advice which is not easy to come by. And the Rambam says that on occasion when a person needs to become angry, he should ensure that he displays only ka'as haponim, veloi ka'as halev. It is external anger. He may have to give an angry look. This is of course very relevant if one is educating children or young talmidim. One on occasion needs to perhaps display external anger, but not internal anger. Now this, of course, is a very difficult struggle. Because as we well know, Chazal teach us that really, the chitzonios influences the pnimios. It is a difficult exercise. It's not at all an easy challenge to act angrily in an external manner and then hope that, that will not influence your internal midos. And therefore it may well be that the real best advice is to try not to display anger at all, even the promise. But like the Rambam said, there are occasions when one has no choice. One has to ensure that it's kaas haponim, but not kaas halev. And then the Rambam says a phenomenal line. We're just learning through the Rambam together, whatever Rabbi says. The Rambam says that one has to be aware of the fallout of ka'as. We've discussed this in the past. It says that one becomes angry, one loses one's chokhmah. We've discussed this because the person is no longer in control of his seichel. And the Rambam adds the following five words, quite incredible words. Ubalei ka'as, he writes, those who are balei ka'as, who struggle with anger, ein chayehem chayim, their life is not a life. Extremely sharply worded phrase by the Rambam. We perhaps traditionally think of ka'as as very negative because of the impact it can have on other people. It can be putting others down, it can be embarrassing. The Rambam is teaching us that the first victim of the Baal Ka'as is in fact the Baal Ka'as himself. Ein chayehem chayim. His life is not a life worth living. And this, of course, just brings us back to our previous series where we looked at caste. And we spoke about, therefore, if caste is considered such a terrible, terrible nidah, it's so serious that the Rambam tells us that we have to adopt the extreme opposite stance, because if not, it is not a life worth living, then clearly it's a nidah worth working on. And you'll remember that the main approach that we discussed to working on the Midah of Ka'as is essentially a chizuk in Emunah and Bitochin in the Rebbeinu Shel'Olam. And the moshul, the famous moshul that is very often given, is the postman, the mailman, knocks on your door and he brings you a letter in which there is content about which you are highly insulted. You're hardly going to get angry with a mailman. He's merely a shliach. He has nothing to do with this. If a person's emunah is strong enough, then even if I am the subject of an insult or embarrassment, but I have to be ma'amin that this did not come from the shliach. It came from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. The shliach is in fact nothing but that, a shliach. It may well be, by the way, the shliach will have to give din v'cheshbon. That's true, but that's his avodas Hashem. That's nothing to do with me. If it happened, clearly HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrated it that way and wanted it to come my way. So why am I getting upset with the stick that hit me without looking at who is in fact wielding the stick? I remember I have a great uncle who passed away recently. Tzaddik, big Oyvid Hashem, his name was Rav Shmuel Lieberman. Zifta, about a year ago, lived in Yerushalayim and HaKodesh for most of his life, a brother of my grandmother. And on one occasion, a lengthy story, I don't want to go into all the details, but he employed a young woman in order to give her parnasa. She was either a yoreth or a balas tshuva, I don't remember, and he wanted to be makarit her and be machazik her, and in order to do so he employed her and gave her a generous salary. And in a very cruel twist of events, she actually ended up taking him on occasion to the courts, to the Bezdin, to sue him for a certain breach of trust that she accused him of. And he had no choice but to pay out a large sum of money to her, when in fact, not only had he done nothing wrong, he was the one in fact who had been providing her with a source of income for all these years, and now she had turned his back on him to great personal expense. And my aunt, the wife of my uncle, was deeply upset, as you can imagine, by this particular story. Not only had he bent over backwards to employ her and to do a carib and a chazika, but look how things have now turned around 180 degrees. He's now having to pay her money when she's busy taking him to the courts. And my uncle said to her, to my aunt, the money which I paid out was clearly decreed by the Rabbeinu Shalom. The way it happened, through her, she will have to give din v'cheshbon for that. That's nothing to do with me. It might well be that she had no right to do what she did, and it was her personal bechira, and she made the wrong choice. That's her avodas Hashem. My avodas Hashem is to realize that clearly HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want me to have this money. So I have to make a personal din v'cheshbon why it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in fact did not want me to have the money. This woman did not take the money away from me. She was the shliach. I only recently heard, I might have mentioned this on a previous occasion, that following the tragic events in Meron, there was a huge kenneth here in Ramat Beit Shemesh, and one of the featured speakers was the big tzaddik, Talmud Chacham from Bnei Brak, Rav Shimon Galai. And Rav Shimon Galai told the incredible and tragic story of a young child who was riding on his bike and he was involved in a very serious accident and he passed away. And the young family, grieving over the son who was just now being killed, they sit shiva. And at the end of the shiva, the mother made it her first priority to go to a store that sells bikes. And she bought a bike for every single one of her children. And one of her friends said, I can't believe what you're doing. It was precisely because of the bike that you just lost one of your children. And now you're going out to buy bikes for the other children? And she said, that's exactly my point. It's so important for me to show my children the bike did not take my son away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took my son away. The bike was a vehicle. And that's the lesson that I'm trying to teach my children, she said, to this startled onlooker. This clearly needs a lot of avodah in emunah and bitachon. But with regard to what we are studying together, of course, this is the key to working on cats. When I'm upset, when I'm insulted, when I'm embarrassed, it wasn't the bike, and it wasn't the woman who took me to court. They were the shliach, and it may well be that they have to give din v'cheshbon for what they did, and it may well be they had no right to do what they did, but that's nothing to do with my avodas Hashem. My avodas Hashem dictates I have to make a din v'cheshbon. Why was it that I deserved this insult? Why was it that I deserved to be embarrassed in public? Why they had to be the vehicle? That's their department. That's their avodas Hashem. This really is the shayrish, the basis of working on the middle of Kaan. And we have to realize and remember the words of the Rambam, that if we are not mischazik in emuna and bitachon, and we do become angry, chayeyem einom chayim, that it's not a life worth living. And you'll remember the last time that we learned together, we mentioned the famous Gemara, those who are ne'elovim ve'einom oilvim, those who are insulted and do not respond, it's a tremendous avoda, but they are the recipients of tremendous brachas in turn. You'll remember the phenomenal story we discussed about Rabbi Zuckerman. But that's the great middah of ne'elovim ve'einom oilvim. The kaas, the opposite of kaas, is shtika. As the Rambam himself concludes, La'olam yarbe odom v'shtika. That's the opposite of kaas. Rather than getting angry and reacting, just being able to remain silent. V'lo yidaber, try not to speak out of turn. Besides the divrei chokhmah, divrei mitzvah, divrei Torah, which we'll talk about next time perhaps. So the Rambam in one halacha over here has grouped together gaiva and kaas, which have to be fought against by taking the extreme opposite stance, and in the same sentence talks about the middah of shtika, the great middah of shtika, the middah of being ne'elovim ve'einom olvim, as the Rambam writes, the derech ha-tzadikim. It is the derech of the righteous people. It is not an easy avoda, make no mistake about it. And as we've mentioned so many times, the path to aliyah in avoda tamidos necessarily entails one or two slip-ups here and there. That's fine. It's not all or nothing, and it's not an overnight task. But if one is able to bite one's tongue, figuratively and literally, and not react, but rather to employ the middah of shtika, then to the contrary, that is a chayim, which is indeed worth living. And you know, I sometimes think to myself that some of the best lines, and some of the best quips, and some of the sharpest statements are the ones that I didn't say. Those are really the best ones. Because you normally do not regret not having said something. It's when you have said something in a moment of anger, as we discussed in the past, the fallout is not pretty and can be very, very, very difficult to deal with. Let me just conclude by reading to you from a book that I recently purchased, and I would recommend anybody to get it. It is just the most remarkable book. It is a biography of Rabbi Shimshon Pinkus. The Chassadik Lebrocha, we know, was a remarkable personality and tragically died at a very young age of 54. And he writes in the biography over here, the writer writes the following. Rav Shimshon trained himself to overcome his feelings and valiantly swallow his pride. Whoever he was dealing with any Jew. And he recites now the following story. There was a bochur in one of the yeshivas in which Rav Shimshon Pinkus taught, who grossly lacked midos tovos, had no regard to authority. And one morning, Rav Shimshon Pinkus was sitting in the Beis HaMedrash learning, and this bocha had been upset by something. The story doesn't detail what it was. He'd been upset by a chinchin, something that he'd done the previous evening. So he turns round across the Beis HaMedrash in a voice loud enough for everybody to hear and says, "Harav lo beseder. The Rav, you're not fair. Incorrect the way you act." And Shimshon looked up and said, "Really, why?" And you can imagine everybody stopped and just hoped that this bach will not continue, but he did. And the boy stated his opinion in a strident, disrespectful tone, completely forgetting whom he was addressing. There was another bacher watching the scene, and he describes what he saw. He writes, "I had my eyes glued to a Shimshon throughout this exchange. Utter silence filled the Beis HaMedrash after the boy finished ranting and raving. Rav Shimshon placed his knuckles in his mouth for a moment and did not react. And when he removed them, I clearly saw teeth marks embedded in his fingers, testimony to the anger he had swallowed. Rather than reacting, he literally bit his tongue or his knuckles. And instead of responding with a furious dressing down like the boy deserved, he opened with a pleasant, even friendly explanation, refuting the false accusation that the bacher had leveled at him and calming him. I always wonder," writes this bacher, "how many of us were inspired at that moment to swallow our own anger after witnessing Rav Shimshon in action." You'll remember, we've discussed this in the past as well, sometimes one feels that one simply has to react. So if one is able just to make a delayed reaction, one would always be the beneficiary of it. And in order to do so, Rav Shimshon Pinchas was a human being, no more or no less than all of us. So he literally put his knuckles in his mouth and bit them so that he didn't react. He clearly was angry, insulted, and upset. So that eventually, when he spoke to this bacher, he was able to talk to him in a very, very pleasant manner. So we bring another story here, and this will conclude, in a similar vein. Rav Shimshon Pinchas was once being Mesadeh Kiddushin, tremendous Talmid Chacham and Rav. He was Mesadeh Kiddushin. And in the middle of a chuppah, a very serious shaila emerged. And it was so complicated that even Rav Shimshon was unsure how one should pass him. So he stopped the chuppah. There were other Talmidei Chachamim present there at the wedding, and they conferred and they discussed until a conclusion was reached. And you can imagine, it's a very uncomfortable situation. Chosn and Kala are waiting under the chuppah, tremendous delay. There was somebody there who decided that he has to express his opinion in a very loud voice. He grossly lacked Kavod HaTorah and repeatedly announced in a voice loud for everyone to hear, "One who is not familiar with the halachas of Kiddushin shouldn't be dealing with them in the first place." Can you imagine how an ordinary quote-unquote person would have felt or reacted? Rav Shimshon Pinchas completely ignored them and remained silent. And several days later, he admitted to a family member, "I was so, so humiliated, but I moichel him b'leiv shalem with my whole heart." So that's a Gadol B'Yisrael. That's why Rav Shimshon Pinchas was a Gadol B'Yisrael. He was able to put his knuckles in his mouth. He was able not to react when he was insulted in public. But that's a life worth living. So as I mentioned, the midos of Gaiva and Kaas, the way to tackle them, one of the prime ways to tackle them, is to be mischazik in emunah v'tochen, and realize that when unpleasantness comes my way, it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu who directed them. Whoever inflicted them, they are nothing but a shliach. They will have to give din v'cheshbon. That's their avodas Hashem. And even if at the end of the day I am upset, We're only human being after all. As if I'm waiting to remain silent will ensure that our chayim will indeed be worth living. Not, as the Rambam describes, the chayim of a Baal Gaiva, chayim, Einon chayim. We do not want to be living a life like that. Kol tov to everybody.